Well, God morning to you. I say a God morning because there's none good but God. And I hope that today, as well as every day, God is manifest in your spirit by His Spirit. These are interesting times that we find ourselves in today. Some could be giddy that we are beginning to see the rewards of our enemies being heaped upon them. Some happy with the political situation. Some incredibly devastated, or some having no understanding of how some people in this world are responding to each other, the venom, the hatred, the warfare. People saying things like this, this is all new. No, it's not. From the beginning of the story of man, from the beginning of the creation of the world, if you read in Isaiah and Ezekiel about our adversary Satan and his envy and jealousy of God. We're not going into that today. It's existing. It seems to be multiplying itself today, but there's nothing new under the sun. My job as pastor and teacher of God's Word is to put you in continual remembrance of God's Word. With that in mind, we're going to begin again. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we're going to begin again to go through the book or the epistle of Paul to the Colossians. Now, Colossians is a companion to Ephesians. Colossians and Ephesians are companions to Romans. Romans, Paul's great magnus opus to the church that he seemingly answers every argument that could be brought up against the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God, I am talking today to faithers of God's promises, that is, those who are grabbing hold of the promises of God as though His Word is more real than anything that we might be encountering today in our lives. And we have the hope because of God's faithfulness. Now, with those opening comments, I want to start in chapter 1, the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle, that word apostle means sent one. Sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. You know, this word saint has kind of become a religious word. You know, there's that Roman Catholic authority which designates this one or that one or this one to be a saint. Like, man somehow is a judge of who's a saint and who's not. The word is, in the Greek, is hagios. And it simply has to do with commitment, of giving over of oneself to another, and in this case, to the deity, to God. There were saints in the temple of Aphrodite that is addressed in the Ephesian letter. Paul is talking to people who have committed their lives to Christ. And his word, and to what he has done to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is declaring grace, unmerited favor. It's not what you or I have done. It's what Christ and God through Christ has done. And he declares unmerited favor to you and peace. God is not against those who are committed, who have committed themselves to him and who are living by faith, that is, saints and faithful brethren, and I'll add cistern for all you ladies, says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This is interesting. You know that 1 Corinthians 13, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. Paul brings us these three, talking of the relationship God is having with those who have committed themselves to him and his word, and who are grabbing hold and acting upon his word day in and day out for the hope. I have a note in my Bible which says, go to Hebrews 3. go to Hebrews 6. And it says in Hebrews 3, 6, Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? For the hope which is laid up for us in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, of the evangelion is the Greek word. We get our English word gospel from the German Gottspiel, that is Godspiel, that is God's word. In the word of truth, aletheia is the Greek, and the synonym for aletheia is reality. When God speaks, it is. Whether we see it or not, it is. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, or to elucidate, change his mind. As he said, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall he make it good. I'm talking, folks, with eternity in view. I'm not talking about having a great life here. You know, as so much of the church is spewing and misusing the word wherein they say, God has a great plan for your life. Well, yes, he does. If you're in Christ, if you're faithing, if you've committed your life unto God, yes, he does. He has put you in Christ, where we will rule and reign with him throughout eternity. Doesn't say anything about this life. God, Jeremiah 9, does exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness, that is, covenant keeping, in this earth. Yes, he does. God, you know, my testimony is God has been very kind to me. Loving kindness, yes. You know, has he given me fame? No. Money? No. Houses? No. He has given me grace, and I have received peace from God, wherein I have the hope which is laid up for me in heaven. Ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringing forth fruit, as also in you since the day you heard and knew the unmerited favor of God in reality. as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who has declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy. No. The word is an adverb. It describes an action. The word properly translated should be that ye might walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened. The word is dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from. With all might, according to his glorious power, unto all, King James says patience, no, all endurance and long-suffering with joyfulness. I once heard Dr. Scott preaching at a funeral where he said, happiness is a feeling. It comes and it goes. But joy comes with understanding. And when you understand something, it cannot be taken away. With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or right to be partakers of the inheritance of the committed ones in light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us under the kingdom of his dear Son. I want to give you an alternative translation to the 12th and 13th verses. Twelfth verse, having made you fit for the part of the lot of the saints in light, who rescued us for himself out of the authority of darkness and has transferred, that means from one place to another, into the kingdom of the Son of the love of him, in whom we have redemption. As I was studying this, it was very interesting. I have a New Testament that was done by a man by the name of Tischendorf, wherein he compared the King James translation to the most ancient to the most ancient translations of our scriptures, that being the Greek, that being the Sinaiticus, the Alexandrinus, and the Vaticanus. And all three translated this way, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, they leave out through his blood. That's not to diminish the blood. That's not to diminish the life of Christ. We're here to proclaim the life of Christ and the adequate price that was paid for our redemption. But the scriptures, someone somewhere along the line decided to add through his blood. It just, frankly, proclaims in whom, that is, in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for, and I'm going to give you the better translation, for in him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What else do you want? And it's not what you want, it's what God in Christ has done for us and is doing in us. I want to I just want to go back for a second when in that second verse it says to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And I told you that the word hagios has to do with commitment. And Paul goes on to say the saints and faithful. I want to tell you who made the first commitment. It was God our Father. Because this companion to Colossians tells us in the first chapter, fourth verse of the epistle to the Ephesians, it says that God according as he, that is God, has chosen us in him. Wait a minute, Don. You got to give the best exegete of this. According as God has chosen us, exelexitos is the word being translated. It is in the middle voice, and therefore it should be translated according as God has chosen us for himself in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, that is God, in love. God committed himself and for himself, us in Christ. Oh, friends, this is called the God School. It's called the God School because traditions make void the Word of God, and the purpose of the God School is to show off God and what he has done and what Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, that means one of a kind, has also done for us. I hate traditions which make void the word of God, which would allow these translators in that 10th verse of this first chapter of Colossians to say that you might walk worthy. There's none worthy but Christ. And the scriptures proclaim we are made worthy by the blood of Christ. Wherein we, with that understanding, should walk worthily by the blood. The blood symbolizes the life. Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the soul is in the blood. Therefore, the blood represents the life, and the life is that perfect life of Jesus Christ. The only begotten Son of God, our Father. And having made peace, King James offers an alternative translation, and making peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. And having made peace, or making peace. Peace the Greek word is eirene. You know, Dr. Scott used to teach the word peace means cessation of againstness. God's no longer against us. There's a fuller understanding when you go to the word eirene in the Greek. It means to set together again. Goodness gracious. You know, I listened the other day to a teacher, a pastor, I guess a famous pastor, he's on television. Wherever he is, makes no difference to me. And he put together, you know, a wonderful exegete of this new life we have in Christ. You know, he quoted Galatians 2:20. It says, give me a moment. I always like to not rely on my memory, but on God's word. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And what this preacher, and he used many, and some verses that we'll get to also out of this epistle to the Colossians, used many verses, and they were great, and I loved it. But he was trying to say, you know, that was the old man in me before, and now this new man, like somehow or other, his flesh has been transformed, like somehow or other, he now could walk worthy in Christ. No, we become a dual creation. The old man, this old man that's talking to you, is still alive. It still has all its bias, its prejudice, gotten rid of many traditions through learning and understanding, and having been gifted of God, a great pastor and teacher in Dr. Gene Scott, many of the traditions have gone by the wayside, but the old man is still alive. He's not as influential in my life as he used to be, but he's still there. But there is a new creation in Christ Jesus. We as Christians become dual creations. I want you to hear that. Dual creations. The old man and the new man in Christ Jesus. God's taken care of the old man of by redemption of Christ through and the forgiveness of sins. Not only my sins in the past, but today's sins and the ones I'll commit in the days to come and months and years, God willing, to come. He's forgiven them all through the redemption of Jesus Christ. But the old man, as long as it is in this flesh, is the old man. It's not going to change. A leopard can't change his spots. This sinner, will continue to sin because I am a sinner. But thanks be to God, all my sins were laid on Jesus, and he paid the price that the grace of God may reign, and having made peace, having set us together again, we have this hope of eternal life in Christ, and that is the God School for today.